Well, thank you all. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I've actually been looking forward to this for an entire year. Last year was, as many of you know, my first year with NBAA. And my first week on the job, I spoke at Westchester Airport with a group of 500. 3 weeks later, I found myself at the annual meeting and convention. And kind of all through the year, I was running around speaking to large groups, trying to get to all of our conferences. And I have to confess that at some point, that whole first year becomes a little bit of a blur. But one thing that stood out very clearly to me was the experience that I had last year at Reno with the schedulers and dispatchers. When I arrived in Reno and had an opportunity to sit down with the committee chairs and talk about what the conference was doing, when I got an opportunity to see the enthusiasm and the professionalism that was really being generated, it stood out. And I thought to myself, that's really pretty incredible that their passion and enthusiasm and professionalism can stand out, because there was passion and enthusiasm and professionalism everywhere I went. So clearly there was something beyond that, and I wanted to come back and see if it was as good as I remembered it. And it has been. I was met today when I got here by Christy Ivey and Amy Roy, and we had an opportunity to sit down and talk again, and it's clear that the impression that I had last year about this being something really special is in fact the case. And I think that's evidenced by the fact that this is a conference that is growing, evidenced by the fact that everybody I've talked to seems to be finding real value in it. And I'm excited about that. It's fun to be part of something that is this successful. I had planned to talk a little bit today about just how important schedulers and dispatchers are, and how valuable you are to the flight departments, to our association, and to our industry. But then I heard when I got down here that Gene Kranz spoke yesterday and did a very good job of talking about schedulers and dispatchers as a flight department's mission control. And I thought to myself, I don't think I can be as eloquent or more profound than Gene Kranz talking about that. So let me just say that I appreciate that he was here and conveyed kind of our sense of value. And thank you all for the tremendous work you're doing for your company and for our association and for the industry. And let me also say that I recognize that the success that we are having here at this Schedulers and Dispatch Conference is not something that is happening by accident. That this enthusiasm and passion and professionalism that I talked about is a culture that's being created, and it's being created by a number of extraordinary leaders in the community. And I wanted to thank particularly Christy Ivey for chairing the committee, for Amy Roy, who's about to take over, for Jenny Showalter. You know, there's so much that is coming out of here that we think is of tremendous value and that we are excited about. And they're all ideas and efforts and initiatives that are being generated by the committee itself. When I look back at our schedulers' professional development programs, an effort that we began kind of 5 years ago, and see that culminating with the idea that plaques would be given away for the completion of six programs, that's something that is really exciting, and it's a great idea, and it's something that we're proud of. Looking at the scholarships, $45,000 worth of scholarships being given away, training programs being given away, that's something that's really exciting. And I also want to thank, you know, Scott talked about anyone who attended Joe's ATC course getting their stamp in the passport, and I want to thank Fran Dawson with Universal Aviation, Weather and Aviation, for that great idea. That's something that we're going to use, I think, at other conferences, and I think it's a terrific deal. So I just want to thank the leadership of the committee for the tremendous work they're doing, for this remarkable event that they have created, and for what they're bringing to our community. So if I could, let's give them a round of applause. I also want to recognize someone on my staff, Joe D'Amato, who serves as kind of the liaison for NBAA with the committee. Joe does a great job, and we've been watching Joe at NBA for a long time, and we've had an opportunity to see the tremendous customer service that she provides through our general aviation desk. We've had an opportunity to see the really good judgment that she exercises. We've seen her management skills, and it's really something that we value very much. And what we've had over at NBAA is we had some openings at the general aviation desk where we've seen Joe step in, take the job, but those are now positions that are filled. And so for the past couple of weeks, Steve Brown, our senior vice president, and I have been talking about Joe and the value that she's bringing to NBAA. And we made a decision a couple of weeks ago, and we only debated when we were going to announce it. I haven't had a chance to talk with Joe about this personally yet, so she's learning about this as I'm talking to you, but the decision that we made was that it's time to move Joe from our manager of the GA desk to a senior manager of air traffic operations. So Joe, you're being promoted. One of the things last year that I talked with all of you about was the need for our community to begin to change a little bit our culture. Not that we want to in any way change the culture of professionalism, not that we in any way want to change the culture of safety or security that absolutely permeates business aviation, but I wanted to change a little bit our culture of trying to always be invisible, trying to always be discreet, trying to always be off everybody's radar screen. And the reason I said we needed to do that is because we were having political challenges, that we were sensing that the commercial airlines were going to be promoting the idea of user fees. We were beginning to hear that the administration was looking for ways to decrease the government's contribution to our air traffic control system and shift more of the cost onto industry itself. And I said at the time that what we needed was this community of ours, which is a very large and a very significant community, to start becoming more politically active, to getting involved in the political process. And I told you at the time that I recognized that it was NBAA's responsibility to help you do that, that it was NBAA's responsibility to frame the debate and to make it easy for you to contact your members of Congress and to let them know how important business aviation is to our communities, to our country's economy, to the health of your companies trying to compete in a global marketplace. And I told you last year that we were going to try to put on our website something that would allow you to easily interface with your members of Congress. And I'm pleased to say that coming back a year later, we have done that with a section on our website called Contact Congress, which allows all of you to go on our website, which is www.nbaa.org. And on our website homepage, you'll see in the upper right-hand corner an icon that looks like this card. You can click on that icon, and it'll ask you for your name, your address. If you'd like, you can put in your company's name. You don't have to. What this will do is it will immediately determine who your congressman is and who your two senators are. And we have form letters on all of the issues, and you can simply click the form letter that you want to send. It will take your information and put it into the letter, and it will go off to Congress immediately. Now, we've already had several thousand people who have done this. The response that we are getting from the people who have done it are, it's easy to do. Their congressmen or their senators have already returned to them. But more importantly, what we're hearing from Capitol Hill is we're getting phone calls. We're getting phone calls from staffers who are saying, hey, we're starting to get a bunch of this stuff. We've got to answer it. Can you tell us more about who you are and what these issues are? We're beginning to be noticed, and that's really important. It's something we have to do. And we have to do it not just because it's a good thing for us to do, but because a lot of those challenges that I talked about last year from the airlines and the administration in terms of shifting cost onto business aviation are actually coming to fruition. This October, the commercial airline industry submitted to the FAA their proposal for a new FAA funding stream. And they want to base it on treating all airplanes the same, regardless of their size. Their rationale is that to an air traffic controller, all blips on the radar screen look the same, and it costs the FAA the same to handle each blip. So what they would propose is that every plane be charged the same, whether it's a Airbus A380 with 555 passengers or a Malibu Meridian flying with two passengers. They would like each plane to pay the same price. Now, a lot of you might say, well, that's a crazy proposal. That'll never go anywhere. Unfortunately, that may not be true. This Tuesday, Transportation Secretary Norm Mineta, in a speech to the Aero Club of Washington, said that the administration will be proposing very soon a new funding mechanism for the FAA. Our taxes are set to expire at the end of next year. The FAA's authorization is set to expire. And so the proposal is now going to come from the administration that the FAA be given new authority and an entirely new funding stream. We know what they're talking about is user fees. Now, we've tried to explain to the administration and to the commercial airlines that we want to be part of the modernization of the air traffic system. We want to pay to participate. It's important to us, however, that we pay through a mechanism that is easy to understand and easy to pay, and we have that today in the fuel tax. We think the fuel tax is something the government itself should like. Fuel tax is collected from a handful of fuel companies, and it goes directly into the Airport and Airways Trust Fund. There are no billing agents, collection agents. It's easy for the government to do. They don't have to worry about someone going bankrupt or moving or avoiding the tax somehow. It's hard to avoid. It goes right into the tax, into the trust fund. We get the benefit. The government, however, seems to be intent on creating a large bureaucracy to administer user fees. Now, for those operators, it means we're going to have to bring people on staff who are going to have to handle all of the invoices, read them, pay them, argue them if they're not right. That's a hidden tax because it's an administrative burden that's got to be paid. We also know that the current fuel tax is good policy. The more you fly in the system, the more you pay. So it does a good job of approximating your use of the system. If you fly larger, more sophisticated airplanes, you probably have more of an ability to pay. And you do, because those planes burn more fuel. So in a lot of ways, the current fuel tax is a progressive tax, something that we tend to like in the United States. Also, we think it's good policy, because it is an encouragement to buy newer, cleaner, quieter airplanes that are more fuel efficient. So we think it's the right policy. Nevertheless, the pressure is going to be coming from the administration and from the airlines to go to a user fee system that looks very much like the airlines want it to look, charging a blip as a blip. It will be unlike, we believe, the user fees that you see elsewhere in the world where weight is the discriminator. The airlines have been working on a new proposal that is based on takeoffs and time in system, and we think that that may be what we're looking at. And if they succeed, they're going to be talking about shifting $2 billion onto our industry. To give you some idea of the magnitude, we currently are paying about $500 million into the Airport and Airways Trust Fund. The airlines want to shift an additional $2 billion onto us. So we're talking about more than quadrupling the amount we pay before we even begin to talk about the administrative burden. This is a serious threat to our industry. And the challenge to us is to respond to it. The airlines have CEOs that are going to be walking the halls of Congress. They have employees that are going to be writing their members. They have suppliers who are going to be encouraged to write. They've got frequent flyers that are going to be encouraged to write. The challenge to us is, are we going to be able to respond? Business aviation is a large and important and a diverse segment of our economy, but we've never made our size and significance felt before, and it's time for us to do that. So I urge everybody to take the time and contact Congress. We've got computers set up here on the convention floor. We'll help you do it. We also have cards. If there's not time here, you can take the cards home and do it. But we've got to get engaged. We've got to get engaged. Part of the reason the airlines have chosen to focus on business aviation and pick a fight with us is because they think they can win it. They have already said that they are interested in trying to come up with a user fee proposal that holds harmless what they call grassroots aviation, what they call the weekend warrior. What they're really saying on that is that they recognize that AOPA, with 407,000 members, has a demonstrated ability to contact Congress. With $1 million PAC, they are truly a political force. They don't think that the business aviation community can or will respond. And so it's up to us to do that. It's been said that in a democracy, you get exactly the government that you deserve. And so now the opportunity is ours to shape and influence this debate. And I hope everybody is going to participate in it. I will say that as important as the user fee fight is, it is not our only challenge on Capitol Hill. We've got a lot of other issues, primarily tax issues, that are related to what a lot of people perceived as the CEO scandals of the past couple of years. Business aviation, unfortunately, got painted with the brush of being a luxury, an entertainment vehicle, a personal toy. And so tax laws have changed related to the entertainment use and the personal use of the business aircraft. We've got to weigh in on those issues as well. They have the ability to profoundly affect our industry. A couple of years ago, we worked very hard to try to get special tax depreciation laws for our industry because we saw ourselves in a recession, and we know we're usually a trailing indicator of when a recession's over. By having that increased depreciation, we were able to spur new sales. So we know these tax laws matter. But we also know that if those favorable taxes had the ability to spur sales and increase activity, then negative tax laws have the ability to depress sales and activity. And when that happens, companies need fewer pilots, they need fewer dispatchers, they need less fuel, they need less maintenance. And so it has a very negative effect. We've got to be able to say to our members of Congress, we are your constituents, we're your voters, we care about these issues, we care about how you look at our industry and how you vote on our industry. So I urge everybody to take the time, please get involved. What I'd like to do, for those of you who were here last year, I had a really positive experience taking some questions from the group. A lot of times I'll go and I'll speak to a group and I'll find out that what I'm talking about doesn't interest them. There's something else. I don't know that if I don't take questions. It's a little difficult in a room this big to ask questions, but we do have several microphones, and Scott has got a couple of other people out there. I probably can't see it because I've got some light in my eyes, but if you could raise your hand, I'd like to take some questions and answer whatever it is on your mind.
Yes, sir. We do have a couple of mics out there. We have time just for a few. We've got Greg down here. If you maybe just go in the middle there, please, Greg. And we've got Mike over here. So please just raise your hand or anything like that. This is your big chance here to ask some key questions on business aviation with Ed Bolin right here. So, and I will also take care of the front. So anybody up front here wishes to ask a question, just raise their hand, please. Oh, come on. Just one question? Thank you for raising lights. No questions at all?
No questions. All right. If you're going to let me off easy, I understand that. I'm anxious to get out and see the exhibits myself. My understanding is the exhibits are going to be open and available. The sessions don't start again until 2 o'clock, so this is an outstanding time for everybody to go through and see our exhibits, pick up the materials that they have. I know I'm going to be walking the floor too. If it turns out that the reason you didn't ask questions is that you were a little bit shy.
Oops. We actually have a question, Ed. Go ahead.
Is this one turned on?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's on. I can hear you.
It's on. Okay. So the question I have, there have been a lot of reports about very light jets operating in the airspace, and I think the FAA and Air Transport Association have been indicating that there are some concerns about safety. Can you comment on very light jets and perhaps what you see as the role of very light jets in the future in business aviation?
Well, the very light jets, and I think a lot of people, when they hear that term, are focused on a couple of companies like Eclipse Aviation, Cessna with their Mustang, Atom Aircraft, a new type of aircraft from a price point standpoint that we anticipate being certified this year and actually entering service. A lot of what we are beginning to hear from the airlines is them saying, gosh, we think that those are going to overwhelm the system. They're going to be a tremendous burden. They're going to clog up our nation's airports. They're going to put safety at risk. And so we're concerned about those. That's another reason that we think we ought to look at higher taxes on business aviation, see if we can't keep some of those out of the way. I don't buy any of those arguments. I think that from a safety standpoint, these are airplanes that are going to be certified by the FAA. The pilot training programs that the companies have, I think, are extraordinarily thorough and extraordinarily professional. Eclipse, for example, is working through United Airlines, so the pilots will be trained by the same trainers as the commercial pilots. Cessna has a deal announced with Flight Safety International, so I think the airplanes are going to be entirely safe. In some cases, easier to use than some of the planes that we have out there. I think the pilots are going to be well trained in terms of how much congestion they're going to put on the system. I actually don't think it is going to be that significant. These airplanes, first of all, are going to be able to land in 3,000 feet, and that's going to give them the ability to go to reliever airports or smaller airports that are closer to where they're trying to go. These airplanes can fly efficiently in the 20s. They can go up to 41,000 feet, so I think they're going to have the potential to fly above and below the commercial traffic. And I think they're going to want to avoid the hubs because they're not going to want to be caught up in the delays associated with that. So I think that we have a little bit of a myth versus a reality. We'll know a little bit more for certain when these planes are actually certified and delivered later this year. But I think from NBA's perspective, we are very excited and we welcome this new mode of transportation.
Any other questions at all? Any in the back there, Greg? I think I chose the two tallest guys in the room.
Okay. Well, listen, thank you very much for allowing me to be with you. Thank you for making this convention such a wonderful success. Thank you for all you're doing for our community, and have a great time on the exhibit floor and with the rest of the conference. Thank you very much.